Good evening. I never go through the little town of Carlisle, Massachusetts, just above Lexington and Bedford, that I don't think of the famous nightclub that flourished there a few years ago. It was quiet as a tomb in the daytime, but plenty lively at night. Most of the members brought their lady friends, but many of the girls came unescorted, and all of them drank heavily. There were many lusty fights and a lot of hair-pulling, but the Carlisle police never interfered because this was a cat's club, owned and operated by a grand old man named James E. Taylor, a real Yankee if I ever saw one, with red cheeks, blue eyes, and long white whiskers. He was picking apple blossoms when I walked into his yard. Apple blossoms to go on a tabby cat's grave down where the rhubarb grows. So, we said, you want to know about the cat's club? Well, it was like this. Back in Prohibition days, when nightclubs was flourishing and you had to have the password and the price to get in, it occurred to me I ought to do something for the cats of Carlisle. I'm mighty fond of felines, I be, and I guess they like me too. Anyway, I opened up a club room for them here in my barn. We've done a swell business ever since. Come on in, look around. I went through the gate past the old well sweep as Mr. Taylor pointed toward the barn. The club room's in there, on the first floor. Don't believe there's many members round today. They're probably micing down in the meadow or sleeping in the haymow. As we came round the side of the barn, I saw a small square hole cut in the boards, and above it was a neatly lettered sign that read, Cats Club, Members Only. Beneath the hole was a narrow runway that went down the side of the barn into the flower bed. That's a special entrance, he said, for the members only, so's they don't have to go way round the barn to get in. It's big enough for my fattest cat to squeeze through, but it's too small for dogs. I hang a piece of canvas over it when it rains, and the cats can shove it aside when they go in and out. Come on up and see the club room. And there, in a corner of the barn, was a few of the tiny bunks, each with a rug, a bit of shawl or some straw, whatever the particular feline liked best. But what intrigued me most was a row of dishes and pans, each one with a cat's name on it. They do pretty well at mealtime, Mr. Taylor said proudly. Of course, there's always one smart guy that has to stick his paw in somebody else's milk. Nailed to the hoss stall was a card labeled menu. Here's what I feed them, he said, reaching for his glasses. First, they get soup, whatever I happen to have on hand. Then salmon, if ain't too expensive, or mackerel if the fish man's been along lately. Then meat and potatoes and other stuff. Any dessert? You bet, they get plenty of cream, and some of them like peanut butter. You know, getting meals is the hardest part of running a nightclub, because you never know how many you're going to have. I'll dish up a nice chicken dinner for them, and by gory, there won't be but 8 or 9 of them show up. Then the next night, when all I've got on hand is a sardine salad or a catnip souffle, they'll come whooping in here hungry and all get out, and likely as not bring guests with them. Last Sunday night, when I come home from church, there were 20 of them sitting on the fence waiting for me to get supper. Yes, sir, 40 yellow eyes shining at me in the dark. I saw one dejected tomcat in a box with slats on it. He's in jail, Mr. Taylor said, going over at the pen. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, catching a poor little robin and eating him feathers and all. What do you suppose his mother thought when he didn't come home? She's up there right now in the maple tree crying her heart out. You're not fit to be a member of this club, you striped cannibal. I asked him if the cats bothered the birds. He sat down on the prisoner's cage and scratched his whiskers. No, they're pretty good about that. I give them a lecture, though, every Sunday morning. He pointed out the door. You see that row of gravestones down there by the lilac bush? Well, the first 3 headstones belong to the toughest tomcats that ever chased a chickadee. I stood it just as long as I could. Then I put up a notice that any member of this club caught with the goods, feathers that is, would go into the death house on bread and water for 1 week and then get the gun. And what happened, I asked. Huh, he said. I seen the 3 of them, old Gringo the gray one, Billy the black cat, and that scalawag of a tiger cat, all 3 of them out there under the rhubarb leaves, a-crunching and a-growling on a baby partridge they'd catch. I slammed them into the pen, and every day when the other members walked by that death cell, they hung their heads in shame. I'm tender-hearted, the Lord knows, but right is right, and them cats done wrong by that partridge. Come on down and see the graveyard. Sure enough, alongside the old brown barn was a row of tiny headstones, each one with a name on it. Mr. Taylor picked 3 dandelion blossoms, filled a jelly jar with water from the well, and placed the flowers on one of the graves. Poor little Toby, he said. She was my favorite. Died of a broke heart, Toby did, when she lost her adopted daughter. Well, how did that happen? Well, I'll tell you. Some folks drove by here one day, and when they saw the sign Cats Club on the barn, they dropped a little fluffy kitten right down in the middle of the road. I suppose they figured the little fellow could read. Well, just then there was a 6-ton truck coming down the road lickety-split, and Toby seen it. She jumped out and grabbed that kitten in her mouth and come trotting up to me as proud as anything. I made her a little medal to wear. And she and that kitten was inseparable after that, just like a mother and a daughter. Well, I said, what happened to Toby? Oh, somebody put some bug poison out, and my cats got into it. I managed to pull most of them through, set up every night for a week taking care of them. But the little kitten died, and Toby was never the same. She went around here with her tail a-dragging in the dust, wouldn't eat nothing. One day she wandered off down the swamp. I took my lantern and hunted and hunted and called, and then I found her, grounded. I buried her here under the lilac bush. All the kids in the neighborhood came and brought wildflowers. There were real tears in the old man's eyes. But he brightened up and said, say, don't you want to see the maternity ward? Maternity ward, I said, you're kidding. No, I'm not. It's right here in the buttress. Cool in summer and warm in winter. And handy where I can keep my eye on things. Come on in. Only got one patient now, and that's Arnold, the new vice president of the club. He had 5 kittens yesterday. Arnold? Well, I don't pay much attention to names. I called her Arnold because she reminds me of one of my relatives. He opened the pantry door, and there on the lower shelf between the pickles and the preserves lay Arnold, with 5 little kittens cuddled close to her side. With great tenderness, the old man stroked Arnold's head. Then he pulled one of the kittens away from its mother. It wasn't much bigger than a feather in his big, rough hand. She may be president someday, he said. Her eyes ain't open yet. Just then we heard a loud meow outside the window. Sounds like Marion. I'll bet a nickel she's got a mouse. She'd better have. She's behind in her dues. He leaned out the window. Good for you, old lady. One more day and you'd been ousted. Where'd you get him? Down the field? Mr. Taylor scanned a piece of paper on the wall. And with the stub of a pencil, he wrote, June the 1st, Marion, 1 field mouse. I keep a count of their dues because the secretary's kind of callous. Oh, I said, you have dues in the cat's club. Of course we do. The dues are a mouse a month. And any member that don't catch one has 3 days' grace, and out they go. Well, I said, how many cats have you got here? Oh, about 30 all told, I guess. I ain't called the roll for 2 or 3 days. They come and go. You know how it is, love and war and so forth. Mr. Taylor picked up a strawberry box and motioned me to follow him into the garden. I'll see if I can get old Sam to round him up. He's getting awful feeble these days. He looked around for a spell and then he yelled, Sam! In a voice that shook the barn. He's so darn deep, I have to holler. By golly, here he comes. And down through the tall grass came an old black cat with one bad eye and part of his left ear gone. Mr. Taylor picked him up. Sam, he said, this is Mr. Blackington. He wants to meet the other officers of the club and take their picture. Now you scoot along now and round him up. By jingoes, that old cat disappeared under the woodshed just as though he understood every word. I made a few pictures of Mr. Taylor with his tattered straw hat. I sampled his cider, and then we went back to the clubhouse in the barn. Well, I had to laugh at those cats. They acted just like humans. I lined them up and made a group picture of the general committee. Then I took a series of single portraits. Sam's the oldest member now, Mr. Taylor explained, and if he lives till next month, he'll be 16. And besides being honorary president of the club, he's been acting mess sergeant since Joe's been AWOL since Sunday. Do your cats ever sleep in the house, I inquired? Do they? You bet they do, especially on cold nights. Well, I said, that's kind of you to let them come in the house where it's nice and warm. Well, tain't only the cats I'm thinking of. It's partly on my own account. Well, I said, what do you mean? I'll tell you how it is. You see, on real cold nights when, say, it's 16 or 18 below zero, the steam heat in the club room ain't all it ought to be. And some of them pussycats tease awful hard to come in. I always make believe I don't know what they want when they start rubbing around my feet. And Bertha, she'll jump up on my shoulder and start treading and purring and blinking her eyes at me. And then I say, all right, old girl, you can sleep in the house tonight. And you ought to see her smile when she hears that. Where do they sleep, in the kitchen? Well, not so as you'd notice it. They pile right onto my big bed, every last dratted one of them. On your bed? You bet your life. I get cold, too. Why, I'm the only man in this country that's got a live fur blanket, 5 foot long, 4 foot wide, and 1 foot thick. And if I have to get up in the night to get a drink of water, I have to shake up 3 bushels of cats before I can get out of bed. The old man walked down to the road with me. And a half a dozen cats trailed along behind us. And as we shook hands, he looked me straight in the eye and he said, you know something? My rheumatiz has been a whole lot better since I started sleeping under all them cats. Today, the Carlisle Cats Club is but a memory, for the Taylor farm was sold after the kind old gentleman passed away. I like to think of him in paradise, where a kitten sleeps on every cloud, where all the trees are catnip and the rivers are all sweet cream. His love of animals was genuine, and he had a real sense of Yankee humor.